Matthew chapter 14, go to verse number 22. Let's all stand together. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately just stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Dear and follow, Lord, pray that we can learn and glean some wisdom and help from this passage of Scripture, Lord. And I pray that you would help me, Lord, as I try to preach it. Lord, give me the words, what to say. Lord, help me and guide me along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The whole concept of this chapter pivots around one hunger that one out of the 12 disciples had, and that was in verse number 29. Peter wanted to get closer to who? Say it with me. Who do you want to get closer to?
Jesus.
He wanted to get closer to Jesus. You know, it's a good thing for people to want to get closer to Jesus.
Amen.
That's kind of why we all came here to church today, was to get closer to Jesus. When we skip church, when we skip our Bible room, we skip those things, our prayer life, we're walking away from Jesus. But Peter wanted to get closer to Jesus. And preaching, when we come to church, preaching ought to motivate us to get closer to Jesus. I wouldn't listen to preaching or sit under preaching that didn't motivate me to get closer to Jesus. I believe there are three different types of preachers in churches, all right? Three different types of preachers. Number one, the pamper preachers, all right? All they do is go around and burping and patting everybody and making everybody feel good and make everybody feel happy. And instead of fishers of men, they're content with being keepers of the aquarium.
Right.
I'm thankful that we don't have that kind of preacher, all right? He doesn't just come to church, just want to make everybody feel good and feel happy. I like feeling good when I go to church, but I need something to help me. I need something to help me. And then we've got the performance preacher. They're just a cheap sideshow. They just want to come and impress you with their charisma. And they've got a few lines that they've come up with and a few things that they've written down that they want to just impress you with. And they're here for the importance, their performance, and make everybody feel, ooh, rah, man, they're a great person. I'm glad we don't have a performance preacher here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Then you've got the pushy preacher. This is a preacher or pastor that pushes you to get closer to God. Thank God we have a pushy preacher. There are higher levels of the Christian life that we can get to and we can reach if we have a pastor who's pushing us to get there, who's giving us the Word of God that pushes us to get there. We shouldn't be satisfied with where we're at in our life. Forward should be our mindset. Whatever it takes to go forward for the Lord. Our pastor pushes us in a godly manner. And sometimes there's things in life we've got to get out of our way, roadblocks we've got to get out of our way to get closer to Jesus. I'm thankful, I want to say it one more time, that we have a pushy preacher.
Good.
Someone who constantly is preaching God's word, no matter how difficult it is. There's times I hear preaching and sometimes it's like, man, that's my struggle right there. Let's move on to the next point, Pastor. Come on now. Why do we got to labor on this? Am I the only? Are you just preaching at me? You felt like that before? Like you felt like it was just the message or that point was only made up because it was for you? No, it was made for everybody, okay? Because God gives us scripture because it applies to all of us. And it's amazing. I was talking to Brother Tony about this. It's amazing the more you read scripture, how that when you go through life, you realize that's what that verse was talking about. Oh, okay, now I know how to respond to that, or now I know how to treat that situation. God has given us the answers for everything in our life and how ultimately to get closer to Jesus. But Christians, we love our comfort zone. How many of you love it when someone tells you you're doing something wrong? Anybody weird like that? All right, I'm not like that. I don't like it, but I know I need it sometimes. I don't like it, but I know I need it sometimes. And I'm thankful for friends who are not afraid to tell me when I'm wrong. Hey, you might want to rethink this. This is not good. This is not the right way. This is not the right thing to do. I'm thankful for friends like that because they want the best for me and they're trying to push me in the right direction. I want to do the same back to them. Those are good godly friends. I'm thankful we have a pastor who's not afraid of our faces out in the crowd. I'm sure when he's preaching, sometimes we give him the look like, nope. Go, keep going. Next thing. Just pray. End the message right now, all right? I'm sure he gets those looks sometimes. But we didn't call him. You didn't call him to preach. I didn't call him to preach. We didn't call him to pastor. God called him to pastor. God called him to preach. And God gave you a Bible. God gave us a Bible for not for us to cherry pick from and say, I think I can do that. That's easier for me to do. I like that type of Christianity. I'm going to do that. You think that's funny, but that's what a lot of Christians are doing today. Is they think that being a Christian and living like the Lord is different for everybody. And that what may be right for you is wrong for me, but what is wrong for you may be right for me. And there's all these things. Everybody can do different things, and we all have different things that we can do. And we don't have to apply everything in the Bible to our life. And they want to just cherry pick the Bible. And what most Christians today are doing is they're trying to find out what they can get away with as a Christian, rather than trying to figure out how can I be more holy, how can I be more like Him. It's amazing how they constantly, well, I think I can do, I can get away with this. What's neat about a Christian that just gets saved, starts coming to church, you know what they want to do? Is they just want to learn how to become a better Christian. And what do they start doing? They start giving up stuff. And sometimes they're willing to give up stuff they don't even need to because their heart is so tender and they just want to be so much more like the Lord. They just want to be holy that they're getting convicted. And they just say, I just want to examine my whole life. As a Christian, I believe if you're wise, you should constantly examine your home, examine your personal life, examine your mouth and what you're saying, the words that are coming to your mouth, and ask yourself, am I holy? Am I being like Him? Is this getting me closer to Him? Because if we just let life go by, the fads of this world, the trends of this world, and all the things that this world has, they eventually slip into our homes, they slip into our lives, and we don't even realize it because we're not going back and checking ourselves. We're not doing a heart check. We're not doing a life check and making sure, am I still who the Bible wants me to be? Am I becoming more like Christ or am I becoming more like the world? Growing up as a pastor's kid, I saw a lot of people hear preaching, didn't like the preaching, and so they left and went to another church that had a performance preacher or had a pamper preacher, somebody who made them feel good when they came to church. Listen, when I come to church, I like feeling good when I come to church, but I need something more than just feeling good. I need something that's going to help me on Monday, something that's going to stick with me on Monday. When I go out into the world, I have something that I got from church that's helping me, not just making me feel good and patting me on the back. But I saw many people, just like many of you have seen in this church, that when the preaching gets hard, the preaching gets tough, people don't like it. I don't like it. If you're being honest, you'd say the same thing. Sometimes you don't like it, but you know you need it. Yes. And if you're honest with yourself, you say, it may be hard for me to hear, but I needed to hear that. Amen. Sometimes we wear our feelings on our shoulder and we come to church and we hear a pastor preach on something or say something, and man, it just turns our whole world upside down. And we'll allow something from Scripture. You know, it's amazing, all those people that I saw leave our church, I never saw them come up to my dad and say, you preached heresy. You see, the Bible says this and this and this. You preached. They never came to my dad telling him that he preached heresy. They just didn't like what he preached. They just didn't like what he pulled out of the Bible. Why'd you have to read that verse? Or why'd you have to go to that passage of Scripture? Why? There's so much more Scripture you could have preached from. The pastor is called to preach everything, in season, out of season, everything in the Bible. And as a Christian, who created us? God created us. And our goal in life, a pastor says all the time, the goal of the Christian life is to be more like who? The goal of the Christian life is to be like him. So are you doing that? It's my question this morning. Are you trying to get closer to Jesus? Simple question. Are you trying? It's a daily thing that we have to work on. A daily thing. This world, you turn on the televisions, it's amazing with my kids. We'll watch a simple cartoon sometimes, and they'll pick up some type of slang word that I didn't realize was in there, and all of a sudden they're using it as, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not getting that in the home, okay? We're not watching that no more. Didn't realize that was in there. But it's amazing how Satan will try to use so many small things to infiltrate your life and infiltrate your home, infiltrate your kids, infiltrate your wife, your husband, and it's constant. The devil does not stop. He doesn't sleep when it comes to trying to get you to mess up, trying to get you to be full of a bunch of junk from this world. He puts so much stuff constantly in the world. I mean, there's new things all the time that are popping up that are wrong. I mean, look at the things that our world over the last 10 years is supposed to be now acceptable. I'm thankful for this month of June, how unacceptable Pride Month has been. It's gone in the right direction this year. Oh, it's been accepted by a lot of people still, but we've gone in the right direction this year. It's been amazing to see how many companies are backing off of it all of a sudden, because a lot of Christian people are standing up for right, saying that's ungodly, that's wicked. The parades, there was less parades this year than have been in the last 10 or that have been in the last 10 years. Companies and the DEI programs, all the different things they're trying to normalize it in our society. And if we're not careful as Christians, we won't stand up for right. We allow it to come into our world, and we don't try to get closer like Jesus. And when we don't stand up for right, they become normalized all around us. And in order to fit in, Christians start to adapt these concepts, to start to adapt these ways, rather than being holy like Christ. When is the last time you personally made an attempt to get closer to the Lord? I've got a few things here that I want to say. Four things that I believe that are hindering us. They also hindered the apostles. Four things that hindered the apostles on this day. And I'll give you a few thoughts on it. But four things. Number one, leaving family and friends. Okay, leaving family and friends. Shedding some friendships. You see, Peter was in the boat with 11 other men, and one of those men was Andrew, his brother, who led him to Christ. Peter was Andrew's first convert when he got born again. Also, James and John were in the boat, who were his fishing buddies and his business partners. So his family, his business partners, his friends, his tax collector and Matthew, they were all on the boat. Some of his closest relationships in life were on this boat, yet he left them to get closer to who?
Jesus.
Now, I know this is a hard one for most Christians to process. Most Christians, when it comes to family especially, this is where a lot of Christians have a hard time with hearing preaching like this. There's a reason why I said what I said earlier, because of this particular point. I've had family members in my life who were Christians that went to church. But I remember as a kid growing up, I had some aunts and uncles and some cousins that lived in other states who were not like us, and they went to church, but their daily lives were completely different than us. Completely different than us. We served the same God, but just they had a different Bible than us, and they just totally different way of living. And so my parents say, hey, they're our family. We will spend time with them. We'll get together every now and then with them, but they're not going to be family members that you're going to be talking to all the time, that you're going to be hanging out with. You're not going to go to their house all the time and spend the night and have fun times all the time. And as a kid, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. I remember some of my dad's closest friends growing up that he had to kind of separate from because they went a completely different direction than the way he wanted to live and the way that he wanted to raise his family in. And I remember as a kid seeing those things and not understanding them, like most kids don't quite, okay, it makes sense, but I, as a kid, still don't understand it. But as I got older, and especially as I had my own family, started realizing those things, and I saw how that decision played out for my dad, for my family, and I saw the decision played out for my family members. Those cousins, those aunts and uncles, I love them to this day, and I still talk to them. still have a relationship with them. But I realized why my dad had a distance with certain family members, with certain friends, was because it would have affected his kids. It would have affected us growing up. And you say, well, that's horrible. You shouldn't do that. I'm thankful that my dad did that. I'm thankful that my mom did that. Because all of my cousins that I was around, that I could have spent numerous amounts of hours and time with, and I mean, the list could go on of things we could have done together. There was times, the few moments where I got alone with those cousins that were a little bit older than me, boy, they would just throw in worldly music that I shouldn't be listening to. They were testing me all the time, saying stuff in the car all the time. And I remember constantly being under pressure as a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, being in the car by myself with my cousins and them throwing on music I knew my dad did not want me listening to. And then I would say, hey, we're not supposed to listen to that kind of music. I was 10, 11, 12, so I didn't say, I don't listen to that. I said, my dad said, you know, my dad said, we're not supposed to listen to that. I didn't have the courage to say, I don't listen to that. My dad said, oh, really? Oh, your dad's not going to let you listen to that kind of music? Okay, wow, so you're one of those kind of guys. Okay, so we're not good enough for it. I mean, I remember just feeling like embarrassed, like, oh, I just want to hide under a rock. These cousins of mine, they were cool, they were good looking, they were athletic. I mean, everybody wanted, they had the personalities, everybody wanted to hang around them. And I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing, why am I doing this? I see what their lives are now. And I wish the best for them, and I pray for them all the time. I still talk to them all the time, and I pray for them, and I'm in contact with them. But I realized the direction that they were going was not the direction that my dad wanted me to go, and it wasn't the direction of the Bible. And now it's sad to see their lives. It's sad to see what's happened in their families and their marriages and being split apart and their kids. It's sad and it breaks my heart. But I know that if my dad didn't make that tough decision for me and my family as a kid growing up, it would have affected me. It really would have. I promise you, those cousins of mine would have been very influential in my life. And I can name them to you right now because they're fun. They're some of the funnest guys I've ever been around in my life. Fun, still to this day. But they would have influenced me the wrong way. And I've talked to them to this day. One of them is trying to turn his life back around and get his life put back together. But here's what I really saw as I got older. I saw one of my other family members who believed like us and had strong convictions and had strong stands, went to the same church as us, but didn't quite take the same approach as my parents did. And they allowed all their kids and their family always around them, hanging out all the time. And it was just constant calling each other. I mean, it was just, there was no bit of separation at all there. And I've seen how that's played out now for their kids. And I realized the wisdom that my parents had growing up. I know some of you right now looking at me, this is crazy. I would never do this. It's okay. It's hard sometimes. Yeah. It's hard to be more like Jesus. It's hard to get close to him. It's hard. But I can tell you as a child, put in that situation, it's rewarding. It's rewarding, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those tough decisions my parents made for me growing up. There's been friends in my life that I went to college with that I became super close with. And just recently, one became a pastor about two and a half years ago, became a pastor, man. Up until 2.5 years ago, man, we were super close friends, talking all the time on the phone and just staying in contact with each other. And then he started trying to get me to change in my beliefs. Started telling me things that he believes now and then that he thinks that we don't need to follow anymore. And we started having these conversations and I started trying to pull him back like, no, like a good friend would do. No, let me show you what the Bible says. Let me remind you what the Bible says. Don't forget what we learned because what we learned was truth. And then that friend kept coming at me and just, no. And then started changing one thing after another and trying to pull me that direction with him to the point where I just said, can't do this anymore, man. I can't have these conversations. I'm trying to show you what we both know is the truth, but you don't want to hear it anymore. And if that's the case, then I can't be on the phone with you all the time. I can't have an hour-long conversation with you about this stuff because you don't want to hear it anymore. And now that same guy and that same friend of mine now believes it's okay for Christians to drink alcohol within a short period of time. But when you go the wrong direction, when you're not trying to be more like Jesus, and we're not trying to be like what the Bible's told us to do, and you get far away from the Lord, crazy things come. 3 years ago, if I would have asked him, I said, so do you think alcohol is wrong for Christians? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Why would you ask me that question? Now he's a pastor of a church, and he teaches his people it's okay to drink alcohol as long as you're not getting drunk. But that's what will happen. If you don't, create some distance with family members and friends that are pulling you away from what the Bible teaches. Abraham had to do it. Moses had to do it. Ruth had to do it. David had to do it. Amos had to do it. Ezekiel had to do it. Jeremiah had to do it. The Apostle Paul had to do it. Number two, the reason we don't get closer to Jesus is a lack of faith. Getting out of the boat like Peter did. All Peter ever heard growing up, just like you'd ever heard growing up as a kid, don't get out of the boat. Don't jump out. You're going to drown. Don't do it. I'm sure he had that ringing in his ear. And now Jesus tells him, come here. Come here. I mean, when the storm is raging, come here. And I'm sure he had friends of, don't do it. What are you doing? You're crazy. You think you can walk on water? What are you doing? And Jesus said, come here. And Peter stepped out on faith. Sometimes God will put us in situations where it takes a lot of faith. Right. Where it looks impossible and doesn't look like the right thing to do because we've never done it before. It's an uncomfortable thing for us to do. It's not an easy decision, but God's trying to tell you, get out of the boat. Volunteer for that thing at the church that you think you're not good at. Volunteer for it. They're looking for help on a bus route. Volunteer for it. They're looking for more bus drivers. Volunteer for it. They're asking for more teachers. Volunteer for it. Get out of the boat. If you want to be used of God, if you want to get closer to God, get out of the boat. Get out there. Volunteer. Do what Jesus would have done. Peter decided to get out of the boat. I want to ask you, are you going to have the same faith that Peter had by getting out of the boat? The reason why people don't get out of the boat. Here's the reason I've seen a lot of Christians why they don't get out of the boat and step out on faith. Because they did at one point, and they fell, like Peter did. They fell, they messed up, they made a mistake, and now they're embarrassed, and they said, I'm never doing that again. Not again. Nope, no way. And they allowed their pride to keep them from going forward. Because they failed. Because they lost faith in their Savior. They went backwards. Made a mistake. Is that you this morning? Are you that type of Christian that says, well, I used to do this. I used to work on a bus route. I used to go soul winning. I used to go to church faithfully. I used to go every single service when they had Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school. I used to do that. I used to get out of the boat, but not anymore. Is that you this morning? Because if it's you this morning, you're deciding, I'm not getting closer to Jesus. I don't want to be holy anymore. I don't want to get rid of some things in my life. Because when I come to church, when I read my Bible, I'm constantly hearing what I need to get out. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live my life. I want to do it my way. You will never know the true potential of your faith until you allow God to totally control your life. You'll never get anywhere in your life until you take your hands off of it and throw it all on Him. And allow Him to do with your life what He wants. Sink or swim with Jesus. I'm going all the way. I want to be with Him forward. I want to go forward with my Lord. I want to be more holy. I want to be like Him. So whatever it is, Lord, I want to do it. I remember my brother as a teenager at camp was so tenderhearted to the Lord and just said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That a missionary preached, and a missionary preached about surrendering to be a missionary. My brother was so just willing to do whatever that he surrendered. I'll be a missionary. And we thought he was going to be a missionary. We thought that's what God was calling him to do. We found out later that's not what God was calling him to do. But he had a tender heart. I'm willing, Lord, if it's to be a missionary, I'll do that. I'll become a missionary if that's what you want me to do. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will call him someday to be a missionary. But I believe God just wants to test us sometimes. God just wants to see, are you willing to do the things that you don't want to do? Are you willing to do things that are hard, that aren't easy, that no one sees? There's things here at this church that get done every single week that you don't know about, you don't see, but someone's doing them. Someone's got out of the boat and said, I'll do that. I'll volunteer for that. Boy, I'll clean the toilets at this church. I'll clean the buildings. I'll spend hours vacuuming the floors here at this church. Man, I'll take care of those kids. I'll go knock on doors on Saturday and make sure kids are coming to church and try to tell other kids about coming to church. I'll knock on doors telling them about salvation. I'll do that. I'll do it. Is that you? Or are you the one that just says, I just like to come to church and this pew is pretty comfortable for me. I like this. This is comfortable. That's fine. But if we want to become more like Jesus, if we want to become more like Christ and get closer to him, then we've got to do the things that he's called us to do according to Scripture. Is your faith lacking this morning? I remember we had just begun on staff at our church out there in California at Regency. My wife was working in the school. The church couldn't afford to hire me. I was the youth pastor of the church, but I was working a full-time construction job. And the school had gotten to the point where we had seven or eight kids left. My wife was working in the school. And got to the point where we just had to shut the school down. There wasn't enough people wanting to put their kids in school. It was a sad day. When I went to school there, we had over 50 kids. Man, it was the heydays of the school. Man, it was awesome. And then I got back from college and married my wife. Then all the school, and the school was dwindling down. It was sad. And we closed down the school after that first year of marriage. And a whole year went by. We had no school. We had a bunch of people that left the church, got upset. And so we didn't have very many kids left. And I remember getting burdened. Me and my wife were getting burdened. We were getting ready. We wanted to have kids. Like, man, I want to put them in a Christian school. Like, Lord, what are we going to do? Like, I know that's a little ways off, but we got to get this thing rolling before we have kids. And I didn't know what the plan, how we could do it. The church couldn't afford to bring me on staff. And I remember looking at my wife and I say, what do you think about me just quitting my job completely and just volunteering to work at the school? And we get this school going back up, and we just live by faith. And I'm thankful for a great wife who said, let's do it. I'm like, are you sure? You were supposed to say no. I was like, you were supposed to tell me that was a bad idea. And she said, no, let's do it. And I said, whew. And at this time, I left a construction, this a guy in our church working construction for him, and started working for this other guy who was into marketing, and he had given me a good job. He's a wealthy guy in our church and a very good man in our church. And I was working for him. And I remember asking him, hey, can I meet with you after church? And I'd already talked to my dad, told my dad what the plan was. He said, are you sure about this? And I said, Dad, if I have to, if the Lord doesn't start providing, can we just move in with you and Mom? If that's what it needs to take. I'm like, I don't want to have to do that, but if that's what we have to do and we can't afford to pay rent somewhere, but we can get the school going, I just want to be able to do that. He said, that's fine, we'll do it. And so we were going to go forth with it. And so I talked to Brother Bird at the church. I met with him after church, and I said, Brother Bird, I was like, I know I've only been working for you for like 8 months. And I'm like, I honestly love working for you, and it's been great. He's like, you're going to quit? I said, well, let me, he had kids too. And I said, let me tell you what I'm thinking about, Dan. I said, I really want to get the Christian school started back up. I'm like, we've got kids in our church, good kids. A lot of parents are having to homeschool now, and some of them aren't able to do it, or they're stressing out trying to figure out how to do it. And I said, we want to have kids. And I'm like, we're going to have a family. And I'm like, I want this Christian school for my kids someday. And I was like, I really want to just live by faith and just go ahead and get this Christian school started. And he's like, man, I love that. He's like, my wife is dying to have the Christian school back open. He's like, she doesn't want to homeschool, and she really wants them back in the Christian school. And he said, I'll tell you what, I will pay you full-time salary to go and start the Christian school. And he said, and you know, I'll give you some tasks and things that you can still do a little part-time whenever you can get to it. But I want your focus to be on the school. You work 100% for that. And if you have time to do these tasks, I'll give you some tasks to do. And if you're able to do and you've got the time, get them done. If not, just let me know and we'll get somebody else in the company to do it. But I'll pay you full-time, so I don't want you having to worry about that or stressing about it. I want you to focus on... And I start crying. And I just said, what? I was like, are you sure? I said, I just wasn't expecting this. I was expecting to move in with my parents like next month. And he said, no. He said, I think this is of the Lord. He said, I want this Christian school. And he said, we'll do whatever it takes. And he said, I'll donate a bunch of money to get supplies, wherever we got to go. Just let me know. Just figure it out and just tell me. Don't be afraid. Just come tell me how much money we need, and I'll help you figure it out. I just looked at. I went home to my wife and I said, you got to sit down for this one. You got to sit down for this one. And I started telling my wife about it. We started tearing up thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, amen, for reminding us that when we step out on faith and we do things that are uncomfortable, that you're there for us, you're taking care of us, and you just want to see us step out sometimes. You want to see us step out of the boat when we don't see the future. We don't see where the next step's going to be. We don't know how we're going to go forward, but when we try to get closer to him, we're going forward. No matter what happens, no matter what comes in our way, if we just decide to make decisions according to Scripture, it's amazing what God does in our life. And I can give you testimony and stories of my own personal life. So could you. Many of you in this room have stories in your life. Talked about this morning about David when he faced Goliath and how he came to Saul and he reminded Saul and himself of what God did when he was younger with the lion and the bear. I need to remind myself of that story I just told you and many other stories in my life constantly for the times when I'm struggling to step out of the boat. It's times where I'm struggling stepping out on faith. I need to remind myself of what God did. Because when I remind myself of what God did in the past, I turn around and say, this ain't that hard. I can do this. I can go forward. If he did that, he can definitely do this. And if you've been a Christian any length at all, and you've read any amount of Scripture, you can realize that all things are possible with who? All things are possible with God. Another reason why people don't get closer to Jesus is losing sight of Jesus. Losing sight of Jesus. The story is told of a little boy who asked his dad, Dad, how big is God? And his dad pointed up in the air and he said, you see that plane up there? It was way up in the sky. It looked like almost like a little ant. He said, yeah, I see. He said, okay, hold on. He turned around and he brought his son all the way over to the airport, up close to an airplane. He said, that's the same kind of plane that we saw up there in the sky. He said, it is? He said, yep, that's what it's like with God. The closer you get to him, the bigger he is. The farther away you get from him, the smaller he is in your life. I want to challenge you as a Christian to get closer to God. Because the closer you get to him, the bigger he's going to be in your life. The more confidence and courage you're going to have to realize he can help you get through things. I was at the driving range years back and for golfing. And I was talking to a man that was there. And he realized real quick, I served at a church and I was on staff at a church. And I asked him, I said, so do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I don't go to church. He said, I used to go. I've gone before and stuff, but I don't go. He said, man, I can't give up my Sundays. He said, that's my fun day, man. I can't give up my Sundays. I said, oh, really? Okay. I said, I don't know you, but I'm like, I'm just curious. I was like, would you say that by doing that and making that kind of decision by not going to church, is that giving you the life that you've wanted to live and stuff, and it's kind of supplied everything for you and you're happy and stuff? He looked at me and said, well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I kind of knew. I didn't know who he was, but I just, you know, if the man was going to be honest, I knew what the answer was. And he said, no, I wouldn't say that. I'm like, really? I'm like, why would you not say that? And he said, I'm divorced. And he's like, it was a bad divorce. And he said, my kids want nothing to do with me anymore. And so he's like, I live by myself now. And he's like, there's some other stuff. He just kind of was like thinking about telling me. And then he's like, I don't know who this guy is. He's just like, no, there's been a lot of stuff in my life that, you know, I'm kind of ashamed of and stuff. And I said, man, I'm like, you've lived this far. You've seen the outcome of what's happened with that decision and skipping out on the Lord, skipping out on church. I'm like, I'm not trying to criticize you or judge you. I've made mistakes in my life, too, that I'm ashamed of. And I said, but I'm like, at this point in your life, what do you have to lose by giving your life to the Lord? I'm like, you've seen the heartache that's come into your life. Why not give him a chance? I said, if you would just give the Lord your life and start getting in church, I'm like, you'd be amazed how things can start turning around and how you'd be happy. And all of a sudden, you'd realize you have a purpose in life. And the man just looked at me and he said, you know, that's a nice thought, but he's just like, I'm too old now to change my ways. And I thought, man. And I said, can I at least pray with you? He said, sure. So I prayed with him and got done. He said, thanks for stopping and talking to me. He said, you gave me a lot to think about. I have no idea where that man is today, but I hope I planted a seed in him to get closer to Jesus. I hope that when we go through mistakes, whenever things are going wrong in my life and they're falling apart, I start, okay, let's slow down life for a second. Lord, what do I need to fix? What are some things in my life? Not always is that the case. Just because things are going wrong doesn't mean that you're a bad person, you're doing things wrong. But I do think it should be a time where you say, maybe there is some things I need to get out of my life. Maybe there is some ways that I need to be more holy, be more like Jesus, and to get closer to him. Are you taking time to evaluate your life? Because I believe it should be a constant thing that we do. A story that just resonates in my mind when it comes to church and skipping out on church was a man in our church. I remember him coming to my dad. I'm standing right next to my dad at church. After church, he came up to my dad and started having a conversation. And he said, you know what, Pastor? He said, Pastor, I just want you to know, this is a man who had been coming to church for a long, long time, probably about 15 years at the time, family in the church, kids in the Christian school, and one of the main families in the church. Came to me today and said, Pastor, I just want to tell you something so you understand what's kind of going on for the next few months or so. And he said, for the next 4 to 5 months, he said, me and my wife's marriage is just not doing very good right now. And he said, there's just a lot of things that she wants that I have not been able to do for her and give her. And he said, one of those is a nice house. And he said, our house is run down. And he said, I work so many hours that the only time I have is on weekends to be able to try to, you know, redo our house for her. So he said, what I'm going to do, Pastor, is he said, for the next 6 months, I'm not going to be in church because I'm going to take that time and invest it into my family. And I'm going to remodel our entire house for my wife. And he said, I believe, Pastor, that it'll help our marriage and we can really move forward. You know what my dad said? He said, David, that's a foolish decision. Don't do that. What are you doing? Don't do that. He said, Pastor, it's literally just 6 months. It's just 6 months of my life. He said, I may even get done before that. And I remember as I was like 13 years old, just sitting there listening to this conversation. And I remember hearing that man tell me that it's going to be okay. And he had good intentions. He had good intentions. He wasn't trying to just live a wicked life. He just was like, oh, I'm trying to fix my family. And he had a good thought to try to make his wife happy. And my dad said, it's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your family. And I remember hearing that. And I remember a few months after that, 4 months after that, it all been going on. I remember, like till the day I die, I remember I'm sitting in the Christian school at my desk. And I remember their mom. She came in and here's the front door and all these desks are in red. She said, boys, grab your stuff now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Grab your stuff. And she said, Danielle, grab your stuff. Let's go. We're out of here. And the teacher said, well, what's going on? Don't worry about it. We're out of here. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my goodness. I was like, what is going on? And they were done. They quit church. They quit the Christian school. They were mad at everything and everyone. And they were completely done with all of it. Gave up completely. And I remember remembering that conversation my dad had with them. I said, man, what my dad said is true. And I started like, man, all my friends, they had 5 boys in our Christian school. They had 1 daughter, 6 kids just, boom, ripped out of the Christian school. And I just remember like, world just like, whoa, what is going on? 3 years after that, they'd been out of church, family been out of church. The dad one day called his boys, said, boys, come in here. And he called all of his boys, all 5 of them, into his living room. And he took a pistol and shot himself in front of all of his boys. I'm talking about a church member that didn't miss church. I'm talking about a church member that was there for everything. Every fellowship, went soul winning, was there for all of it. Faithful. Made a decision. I'm just going to take a 6-month break from being close to you, Lord, and I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to really spend time reading my Bible. I'm going to skip out on church. And what it led to, destroyed his family. His sons now are drug addicts and a mess. Some of them have almost committed suicide a few times. Heartache has entered into that family like you can't believe because of that simple decision. Oh, they were struggling. Many of you in this room have been through that. Maybe you've been through marriage struggle. The way to help that is not skip out on church. The way to help that is not to go fix up your house and say, this is going to fix it all right here if I just skip church and go do this. It's not the right decision. Base our decisions on Scripture. If we base our decisions on Scripture and God's ways and His ways, I promise you it'll all work out. I promise if you just get out of the boat and do the uncomfortable things, God will work out the problems that you're facing. Another way that I believe people are struggling, not getting closer to Jesus, is laughs from failures. You're wondering, what is that supposed to mean, Pastor? Laughs from failures. People love when someone else fails. It's sad, but people love. You turn on the news, what do? They love to talk about people's failures. Yep. They don't love to talk about the news channels and all these different shows. They don't love to talk about all the successes. They love to talk about when popular people mess up. Good. And unfortunately, other Christians love, and other people, family members, friends, sometimes love when you mess up. Or they love when you're not doing better than them because it makes them feel good about themselves. They love when they see you fail or mess up with something. People love negativity. Failure was not final. How many, if you've failed before anything, raise your hand. If you've ever failed before, wow, everybody, okay, good. If you didn't raise your hand, you failed at raising your hand, okay? We have all failed at something. Now, you may say, I've sunk or I've failed at something. Everyone in the boat is laughing at me. People are mocking me. People are making comments about me, and they're getting to you. Listen, if everybody believed that and treated failure like that and just gave up and quit, imagine what our world in general, forget Christianity, imagine what our world would be like if people just gave up when people were mocking them, when people were making fun of them, or when people glorified in their failures. Thomas Edison, teacher, sent him home when he was a little boy. This is what the note said to his parents. Your boy is stupid and he cannot learn anything. But he patented over 1,000 inventions over his lifetime. One of them is the light bulb that's hanging over your head. Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. You think he had people laughing at him, at his mistakes and his failures? Walt Disney was fired from his first job because they said he lacked having ideas and having imagination. He went on to build the number one amusement parks in the world. Mr. Macy was fired from a retail store saying, you don't know how to sell anything. But today he owns one of the largest chain of department stores in the world, Macy's. Harold Sanders was fired from every job he ever had in his life. So disgusted, he went home and decided to fry some chicken. Somebody said to him, that's good enough to pay for. This morning while I'm preaching, over 25,000 locations of KFC are in the world. Albert Einstein, his teacher, told his mother, this boy has difficulty communicating and I doubt he will ever learn anything in his life. But today he's respected as the most powerful and influential genius that has ever lived in the world. And before his death, he received a Nobel Prize in physics. Theodore Seuss wrote a book for kids and publishers said, nobody will read that stupid book called Cat in the Hat. He was turned down by 27 publishers, but when he took his last breath and died, 600 million copies of Cat in the Hat were sold. Elon Musk, you've heard Elon Musk's dad not long ago who's Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. His dad was on a podcast not long ago, and they were talking about his son, and he said when his son was younger, and in kindergarten and first grade, they said that his son struggled with learning and that he needed to go to a special needs school because he just didn't know how to learn things. I thought, Elon Musk, wow, autistic, struggles with things, but somehow found a way through it. You're going to fail. Let's just go ahead and prepare for that now. Y'all raised your hand thinking about the past. I failed before. Okay, you're going to fail again in the future. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. So don't be shocked when you do fail, when you do fall, when you do get out of the boat and you fail and you fall and you sink. Okay, it's going to happen. Be prepared for that moment. And when it happens, get yourself up and get closer to him. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord like David did and allow yourself to be used of him. Don't beat yourself up and say you can't be used. Listen, you can't be used by the Lord unless you allow him to be used. Allow yourself to be used of him. See, we are nothing on our own. I can't do anything on myself. I can do things, but I'm going to fail at them. I'm going to be exposed for them. But thank God, I as a teenager growing up, I remember the first time I ever preached. I came up to preach. I was 12 years old, and the youth pastor said, how many of you would ever like to preach for the teen service? Teens are going to take over the service. Who would like to preach? None of the teen. I had just entered into the youth group, and none of the teen boys raised a hand. I raised my hand and said, I can do it. My dad's a pastor. I mean, he preaches all the time. I'm sure it's in my blood, right? I can do this thing. And so they said, all right, AJ, you're going to preach, all right? And they got like one or two other guys to preach, and so I started getting my message ready. And instead of going to this thing right here called the Bible, I started trying to figure out some funny jokes. And I started thinking of things that I could say that would just get, if I could just get everybody to laugh, it would be a successful message. I got them to laugh. I started making fun of my mom for losing her keys and losing things. And they were laughing with me, but they were laughing at me. Because they knew, boy, when that boy gets home, he is about to get it. Man, I walked off the platform thinking it was great. Everyone loved me. I was the favorite preacher. And everyone just patted me on the back and just, oh, this is awesome, man. And just, I didn't know what was going on until I got home. And my dad said, son, go to the living room now. I said, what? Sit down. Okay. Man, did I get chewed out? Did I get in trouble? And they came up with the AJ rule at Regency Baptist Church. The AJ rule is every time we have a teen service and the teenager is going to preach, you have to write out your whole message and it has to be approved by the pastor before you get up there to preach. Guess what? Years later, I became the youth pastor. What did I have to do? I had to enforce that rule to the teenagers and remind them about that story and why that rule is there. And now none of you are going to make the same mistake that I made. But I remember from that moment, though, I got so embarrassed about I never wanted to preach ever again. Never again. Anybody you know that knows me, when I was in high school, I was not the most outgoing. I wasn't quiet, shy in a corner, but I wasn't out in front of everybody talking and just loved getting up to preach and speak. It wasn't what I ever wanted to do. So when I finally surrendered my life to the Lord, it took till I was 19 years old, here in Indiana at a youth conference up there in Hammond at First Baptist. I wanted so bad just to be a businessman. I looked at preaching like, I failed at that. I'm done. There's no way I'm doing that. I messed up. I sunk. Okay, I'm done. Something else. And I wanted to be a businessman. That was my passion, my plan. I was putting all my eggs in that basket. That's what I was going to do with my life. I told my dad, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I never talked to him, but I said, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And I remember my dad constantly saying, hey, if that is what the Lord wants you to do, then you'd be the best businessman that you can be and be heavily involved in your church. If that's what the Lord, he kept saying, if that's what the Lord wants. My dad never said, no, son, you're called to preach. He never told me that. So I kind of was using it as a escape out, like, sweet, I don't have to preach. I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to be a youth pastor. I don't have to be an assistant pastor. Finally, I surrendered. God got a hold of my heart, and I surrendered to be in the ministry. I didn't know what he was going to call me to do, but I surrendered to be in the ministry, so I started to make my list of things that this is what I think I can do. I'll be an assistant pastor that's kind of in the back. I thought maybe assistant pastor just be in the background and just help the pastor, never had to preach. I didn't think the assistant pastor ever had to preach, so I thought, I'll do that. I'll just be an assistant pastor and support the pastor and be behind the curtains, you know, and I'll be in the meetings and help with stuff. I can do stuff like that. And I said, but never do I want to be a youth pastor, because I thought youth pastors are crazy and they have to lose their personality and have fun with teenagers. I said, never. My youth pastor, he was super cool and I could never be like that. And then my dad came to me and said, hey, son, I need you to be my youth pastor. I said, what? No, that's not what God called me to. Yes, he did. I talked to him last night and he calls you to be my youth pastor. I said, Dad, are you serious? I'm like, no. But I remember surrendering to that and became a youth pastor. I loved being a youth pastor. I finally got to the point where I was like, I'll be a youth pastor till the day I die. I love this so much because God gave me a passion for it. That first year, though, I didn't have a passion for it. I had a bunch of seventh graders who were just terrible, didn't behave, didn't listen, didn't want to do anything I preached about. But God gave me a heart for the teenagers, and I loved doing it to the point where I was like, I'm going to do this till the day I die. And then one day, he called me a pastor, and I said, no, definitely not, God. Definitely not. I don't want a pastor. And I remember having to have a conversation with my dad because my dad's health was getting so bad. That I had to tell my dad, Dad, I think that it may be time for you to step down soon as pastor because it's just tearing your body up. This is killing you, Dad. And I said, I'm not trying to be God, but I just want something for you to consider. And he said, no, I've been thinking, I've been fighting on it for a while. And he said, I haven't wanted to do that, but I do think it is the best thing to do. And I was kind of like, well, next man up mentality. If that's what the Lord wants, Dad, I don't mind being the pastor if that's what the Lord wants. And he said, all right. And so we started talking about that. And that was kind of be our plan. Was kind of, he said, I've always thought about you being the next pastor. I said, not me. That's not what I thought. And I remember that night not being able to sleep a single second and thinking, that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I couldn't understand, why am I not sleeping? Well, God made it very clear that night, he doesn't want you to be a pastor. God made it abundantly clear, you're not supposed to be the pastor. I said, thank you. Thank you. And I'm not even supposed to preach too. I don't know if you forgot that. I don't need to preach, right? Can I just be a layman in the church? And I remember just not wanting to do the things that God was calling me to do. And I remember, but I knew God didn't want me to be a pastor that day. I knew it, but without a shadow of a doubt. He wouldn't let me sleep. God put my brother-in-law in my heart. I said, Dad, I don't know why, but last night I could not sleep. God made it clear I'm not supposed to be the pastor. And I said, I don't know why, but he put Stephen, my brother-in-law, on my heart. And I said, maybe it's supposed to be him. He said, okay. He said, I prayed last night too. And he said, for some reason, I was not getting any sleep. So we must have both been wrong on this. And I felt like that was the final answer for me. I'm not supposed to preach. I'm not supposed to pastor. Like, I know now, Lord. And I felt unworthy to ever do something like that ever again. And they started working on my heart a few years later. about becoming a pastor again. And I said, we already did this, Lord. I already surrendered to this. And you told me no. And I remember God working on my heart for about a year and a half upon it. And finally, I got out of the boat and just said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want me to do. And God called me here to Indiana. It's hard to just surrender to what the Lord has you to do. But I'll tell you this, in my life, all the times where I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I'll tell you this, I have loved every step of the journey. I wouldn't change any of it. God's got me out of my comfort zone more times than I can possibly tell you this morning. But I'm thankful for all the blessings and the things that God has brought me through and all the rewards that he's given me along the way and all the young people that I got to have a part of there out in California that now I get to have a relationship with. I get to see them in the ministry and see how God's using their life, and they still call me up and want to tell me about stuff and send me pictures of their family. It's rewarding just serving the Lord. It's rewarding. But if we quit because we failed, we'll never amount to anything. We'll never do anything great for the Lord. We'll miss out on all the blessings that God has for us if we forget what he did in the past and we quit here. We'll miss out the rest of the way. Imagine if David, I preached on David in Sunday school. Imagine if David would have quit and gave up. He saw God do the lion and the bear, and then he got to Goliath and was like, whoa, it's huge. Imagine in that moment, if David would have quit, think of the rest of David's life that he would have missed out on. The reason why God used David was because of how he faced his Goliath. And the rest of David's life that he got to have, that we get to read all throughout Scripture, how God used David in so many lives, and he became a king of Israel because he didn't quit when he failed. You're going to fail probably tomorrow. You're going to fail really soon down the road. It's okay. We are humans. We're sinners. We're going to make mistakes. Pick yourself back up. Get back in the boat, okay? And step out on faith and say, Lord, I'm not going to doubt you ever again. I just want to be used of you. And God will allow you to be used of him if you just strive to get closer to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. I know I went long this morning, Lord, but thank you so much for the things you've taught me in my life, my short life, Lord, of when I just trust you and I just get out of the boat, Lord, and I just strive to have a relationship with you every single day. I'm trying to be more holy, Lord. And the things that I don't want to get rid of, the things I don't want to remove from my life, Lord, I'm thankful for when I do remove them, because you show me the advantages of when I remove them and how much closer I can become to you and the rewards that I can get for you and the blessings that I can get from you if I just decide to remove some things, add some things in my life that you want me to add. I pray if there's somebody here who's struggling with that, Lord, I pray that this was a help to them, and I pray that they would just make that decision, Lord, on a daily basis. Can I get closer to you, Lord? What do I have to do to get closer to you?